MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Ian Cunningham. He's head of multi-asset growth at 91 in London. Ian, appreciate the time today. Fair to say, we don't know how the Trump tariffs on China will ultimately end up. But what we do know is that the China export engine is under some pressure. They've been moving up that value chain in recent times. But any extra increase in tariffs from the Trump administration is going to hurt that export engine.
Hi, Simon. Yes. I mean, ultimately, the challenge they've got is since 2021, they've pursued export-led growth model driven by moving up the value chain. And obviously, we've come to know how dominant China is across things like electric vehicles and particularly green energy equipment. And the challenge they've got is these tariffs are going to put a pretty big dent in that. So China's going to have to pivot and drive to achieve growth targets through other means as we move forward, I think.
Those growth targets are important. They've still got their 5% GDP target for 2025. In a recent note you put out, you say the only way they're really going to achieve that, or a big way part of it, is going to be domestic consumption.
Exactly. So I think if you look at the areas over the last few years, so I think they've been pretty clear that fixed asset investment and particularly real estate investment is something that they don't want to go back to. They view that as a bubble, a significant imbalance within the economy. And they're quite clear at the moment they want to stabilize that. So they want real estate prices to stop going down. But if you look at the various other areas where you can actually drive growth in the economy, it's the area of consumption, given the significant savings rates that sit across Chinese consumers.
That savings rate, I mean, it's a savings rate that I think many economies would quite like, but it comes with a double-edged sword, saving instead of spending. How do they get Chinese citizens to spend rather than save, and perhaps even dip into some of that savings to sort of put into the economy and create that consumption?
Yes, exactly. So I think the interesting things that we've seen across the last 6 months is after a pretty stagnant period for consumption, which has been influenced by a sort of a negative wealth effect driven by house prices coming down, we've seen policymakers across the last 6 months really start to get in behind or signal a boosting of consumption is coming. So if you go back to maybe September last year, we all know the dramatic rally we saw in Chinese equity markets as policymakers came in and tried to put a put onto the economy, sort of state buying within equities. And they also changed their language on real estate prices, trying to push stability there as opposed to kind of an ongoing debt deflation spiral. But as you say, it's a challenge. Those savings rates are high for a reason, and that's because the social safety net in China is not that well established. So there's really going to have to be considerable effort to make that social safety net wider to get those savings rates down.
I get your point. Without that social safety net, you need your own cash in the bank, or maybe it's under the bed in case something goes wrong. This is not a short-term solution, I suspect, though. And I can see the desire from the Chinese Communist Party. I can see where it benefits the citizens. But it's going to be a bit of a process to get in place and to convince citizens of its merits.
Exactly. So if you consider the way that things have worked, China tends to sort of plan across a multi-year phase. And if you think back to what they were planning with regard to moving up the value chain, it was sort of probably 2016, 2017, we saw all the Made in China 2025 plans come out. So all the electric vehicles we see now, Chinese electric vehicles all over the world, sort of that was all planned kind of 8, 9, 10 years ago. And what they seem to be putting together now is that recently been a special action plan released, which is targeting a broad range of consumption drivers. And this looks similar in the sense it's a long-term plan trying to sort of focus on boosting lower income earners, sort of training, putting in place insurance for people who are unemployed, whilst also looking to try and build out those social protections in terms of health insurance, pension provisions, and other public services. So there will be something that's beginning to form. And as we know from China, it will be something that is broad ranging and seeks to boost things over a 5 to 10 year horizon rather than a short-term sugar rush that they've been doing in more recent history in terms of providing subsidies on maybe electric goods or appliances.
Me as a complete novice on China, my sense is that typically when China plans, and you talked around the export drive and how that played out over a decade, it typically plays out largely as expected simply because of the ability of the state apparatus to sort of ensure success. I mean, is it a fair shot to say that the likelihood of success is typically fairly high?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always sort of plans being put in place, but as you say, typically these plans are drawn up and they are actioned. They have a reasonable time horizon to do so, longer than most governments we see elsewhere in the world. So typically when they aim to do something, they tend to put it in place. But as we know, there's second order effects across things, and other things can pop up that need to be managed along the way. But it presents an interesting dynamic for many areas of the market where they've been pretty beaten up over the last sort of 3 years or so with regard to many of the consumption plays. See more of a medium-term tailwind emerging rather than the headwinds that we've seen from kind of a negative wealth effect over the last few years.
That was going to be my concluding question, which is the Chinese stocks have been under pressure. There's some really good valuations across various different sectors. This must then play into sort of the consumption stocks, which are mostly low valuations. And as you say, get some good tailwind over the next couple of years from those cheap valuation levels.
Exactly. So I think when you look across many, many consumption-linked stocks within China, a lot of these are still growth businesses, and actually their earnings have been doing pretty reasonably over the last few years. But they're all trading on very discounted valuations relative to their longer-term averages. And so there's certainly opportunities out there that are worth considering for investors.
We'll leave it there. That's Ian Cunningham. He's head of multi-asset growth at 91. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.